Blog Talk Radio.
Games, bro, what a way to kick off the weekend for Survivor Series weekend in LA. Who better than Matt Riddle called out Cassius Ohno, basically almost kicked off Ohno's face. It was great. I mean, Riddle made a statement like, I'm here to stay. And you really don't have a say of whether I can wrestle or not. And it's like, the bell rang, Riddle hits Ohno with a knee to the face, and that just ended that right there. 1, 2, 3, Ohno claims he's never ready. Okay, whatever. The second match, 2 out of 3 falls match, Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler with, you know, the assist of Marina Shafir and Yasmin Duke. So NXT just keeps growing and growing and growing in new talent. And it's not just the non-main people. It's like expanding beyond belief. And it's amazing how this match, Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane, wasn't bad at all. And the reason I say this is because it was a 2 out of 3 falls match. Kairi Sane was giving the comeuppance to Shayna Baszler. And I must say, I was impressed with the match. You know, it was 2 out of 3 falls. And second fall, of course, went to Kairi Sane with an insane elbow. The third fall, of course, you know, there's some interference. And of course, I was surprised to see Dakota Kai and Io Shirai, you know, two competitors that have competed in the Mae Young Classic. All the women have competed except for Marina Shafir and Yasmin Duke. Baszler has improved. I thought I would never, ever say that. You know, she's improved as far as getting over what, you know, getting the message to the crowd, which is, you know, you're getting a reaction, so you're doing your fucking job. Good job, man. She didn't need approval from anyone else, man. She works really hard into making NXT somewhat intriguing for the women's division now that Nikki Cross is no longer there. It's good to have a feud and a rivalry. I guess Maine is not the only ones that are faction heavy. The Four Horsewomen, 3 out of the 4 Horsewomen, the fourth one is in going to be discussed later on for the Survivor Series. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry, I had a brain fart. It's late at night. It's 1:10 a.m. up here in New York. So, anyways, folks, if you want more of NXT, simply go to the WWE Network. It is free your first month, so you're going to get Survivor Series and, of course, TLC for free. Now, after that is $9.99. You can get the awesome action that is Undisputed versus Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and the War Raiders. That was a pretty fucking awesome match. But I forgot the other two matches before that and continue the network description to you guys. If you would like to subscribe, you can do so. $9.99, but it's $10.99 with, because they have to take a dollar out of a check. Hey, if you don't want to do it that way, you can get a preloaded card at your local Dollar Stops, Dollar Generals, GameStops, 7-Elevens, Best Buys, and Walmarts. I don't know if WWE sells them, man, but you can definitely check. I don't think they do. It is usually the preloaded card, which is $29.99. If you don't want to get that, go to WWE.com, go to the shop, type in preloaded card. You can buy them, but I suggest you just get them at the store. A little bit of tax compared to $6.99 standard shipping, $11.99 ground, and then, whatever. So that's the WWE Network advertisement. Velveteen Dream and Tommaso Ciampa. You want to talk about a match that told a story, a championship match. It was for the NXT Championship. But before that match, I know I'm going backwards. Aleister Black versus Johnny Gargano, a pretty good organic storyline, the one the fans could get behind. I mean, there's a lot of kicks. As Mauro Ranallo put it, a cavalry of kicks. You had two black masses at the end of the match as Aleister Black literally hoisted Gargano up with his foot and kicked the ever-living fuck out of Gargano's face, not once, but twice. And let me tell you, that match was great. I mean, although, there's no complaints. Now, Velveteen versus Velveteen versus Tommaso Ciampa. I'm getting names backwards. All I can tell you is the first 8 minutes and 16, 17, 18, 19 seconds, I'm already praising NXT. And I will talk about that later, about praising their show versus Survivor Series. Now, I'm going to get to Survivor Series in a minute, but I'm going to save the bulk of the discussion for NXT. Something, a group that, actually made the fans get up on their feet the entire time during this match. It was very, very back and forth. I am referring to the War Games match. Now, the rules are as follows. There's one participant that starts off for each team to gain the advantage, 5 minutes. And then after that, I'm just going to read the rules. I have them right here. So, here's the thing. The War Games rules. All right. Two teams would be contained in separate cages with one member of each team starting the match. After 5 minutes, a member from Undisputed Era, or, random team, will be released to enter the match. After a 3-minute period, alternating members from each team will enter the match until all competitors inside the cage. Once all competitors have entered, War Games officially begins. Isn't this the fun part, folks? Me reading it like it's a children's book. Escape or leave the cage, you forfeit the match for your team. The only way to win this match is to win by pinfall or submission. Those are the official rules, my compadres. Okay, so from what I can tell you, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Roderick Strong. They seem more like a more cohesive unit than the War Raiders, Pete Dunne, and Ricochet. But you know what? I have never seen, you know, I've seen logo chairs before, haven't I? I mean, I've never seen personalized chairs. I wonder if it's going to sell in the shop. It has to, you know. Makes great lawn chairs, summer chairs, you know, if you're having a barbecue or whatever. Anyways, Undisputed Eras, Adam Cole is probably the MVP, but Roderick Strong came in giving vicious backbreakers to anyone and everyone that was mobile, and that includes Rowe and Hansen from the War Raiders. You know, speaking of which, this, you know, the tandem of Rowe and Hansen, they're going to be tag team champions too, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't see, I don't know, maybe they will or maybe they won't. Because Undisputed Era, you know, held the tag team championships for so long after they beat Mustache Mountain, who's like the other, you know, the UK version of Undisputed. Anyways, the tandem of the War Raiders, you know, having Rowe or Hansen, whoever did the handspring elbow onto Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly. If I got that wrong, you know, you can do say whatever you want, but as far as I'm concerned, all I saw at War Games was complete and utter chaos. The Tower of Doom, that's the umpteenth time, the second time that Adam Cole has been suplexed off the top of the cage. And folks, not to sound redundant or boring with the same tone of voice, but Pete Dunne, kind of like Sting, and here's the thing, the not like 4-on-1 moment, the only thing missing out of that whole element was painted crow-like face, and the baseball bat, couldn't get my words out. Because Pete Dunne basically took 4-on-1 at one point in the match. I mean, there were tables, there were kendo sticks, there were chairs. The event was a fan's dream come true because ask and ye shall receive. That's basically what I said out loud during Johnny Gargano's little bring on the black mask. I believe I'm going back and forth because NXT was a much more positive experience for me than Survivor Series. Of course, Uncle Bob, Little Bob Evans, made me laugh. You know, he's like reviewing the show. Like, I didn't watch the show, but I'm guessing show wasn't that good. If I were in charge, they didn't deserve the push. It's kind of funny. I don't really, as a critic or as a wrestling podcast host, I'm going to transition into Survivor Series and basically say to you, get ready to enter my brain. So buckle up your fucking seatbelts and enjoy the ride. I'm not responsible for any offensive things or hurtful or optic things I'm about to say to you all. And it's only 14 minutes into my fucking show. Jesus, that wasn't that long. But to, you know, to polish up NXT just a smidgen before I start singing its praises again, I gotta say, I was kind of impressed with Charlotte Flair. And here goes. Enter at your own risk. Dig it. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, Off the Rails Uncensored is also part one on Mondays and part two on Wednesdays with Granny. But I will say this. Charlotte Flair made me think, wow, what a woman. And the reason for the long pause is Charlotte Flair's lone highlight. And of course, you know, I'm getting questions now. Why didn't I? Okay, Seth Rollins and Shinsuke wasn't bad. Down the list, shall we? The 10-man Raw's tag team match showed dominance in Braun Strowman. I really, honestly, folks, you know who I represent, or who I would rep for, and that is Team Blue. Unfortunately, Raw won, and they are, you know, they all across the board, 6-0, even though the kickoff show featured a 10-man tag match with Sanity, the Usos, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson on the kickoff show. I guess SmackDown Live had a small victory, but really, it really kind of just stings or hurts my brain to see, you know, a show that hasn't really proven that they are a good show. And I feel like Monday Night Raw could be better, but they're not. They have an immense amount of talent. Nothing to take away from Drew McIntyre or Braun Strowman or Ziggler. It's just, it'd be nice, it would have been nice if SmackDown Live could have at least won one match. And the reason why I say this is because, okay, if we want to talk about better brands altogether, overall, then what I'm telling you is, it's kind of one of those things where you think, how do I make suggestions as a fan without sounding too much like an asshole? One of the suggestions is maybe at least throw in like NXT, you know, Five Guys or the, you know, the hottest brand, one of the hottest wrestling brands, or so many people think, onto a Raw and SmackDown Live team and make it a big ass match. Not a battle royal, but like, yeah, you know, something like if one of the Raw team members, like the NXT guys, wins the match for his team, then that guy gets a future contract. And you know something, don't get it. In some instances, like, I just don't know. I'm reading some of your questions, that's why there's a lot of pauses, folks. Asuka loses to Nia? Okay, whatever, Nia's trying to emphasize the fact she's a heel. You know, whatever. And then Alexa Bliss, who could not participate, so basically she's playing the same role she played in NXT for a little bit, Murphy. Jeez. There's just so much that could have been better. So much more. For example, if you are to have an event where it's a complete landslide to basically say, here's the dominant brand, I mean, it's just like losing a football game. You lose, wow, one. I mean, you understand that there's a premise as to why SmackDown Live is the superior show ratings-wise. Not just that. The amount of talent they have, it's basically a card of underdogs. Not all, but I mean, look, Rey Mysterio, The Miz, New Day, The Usos. You supposedly give the fans what we want. Well, Shinsuke and Seth was one. Charlotte Flair beating Ronda Rousey, I will get to in a moment. I gotta say, there are a few things that when you get into professional wrestling, you don't criticize those who make money for the big companies. Unless said big company just makes you think, who and why are we doing this? Is it for the kids? Is it not for the kids? The Daniel Bryan Brock Lesnar match was not bad. Now, granted, Daniel Bryan is crazy. There's a given to that. But, I feel like that match actually told a story. It wasn't too terrible. Brock Lesnar was basically beating Lesnar's ass. And yeah, it happened. He beat Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan gave him a fight. And Heyman knew that. 3.5 hours, that was very difficult to get through, but I'm kind of used to that by watching, you know, Mania, Rumble, SummerSlam, all that. The main roster wants to showcase their talent. It feels like the only highlight for me, in my opinion, was when Charlotte Flair absolutely lost her shit. And I feel like from that aspect, I believe Charlotte Flair didn't lose her shit. She just was frustrated. Why so frustrated? Because maybe something inside Charlotte's brain was saying, I think I ought to just mess her up. I think I'm all flared up. Charlotte realized maybe that she could not beat Ronda. Maybe Ronda was a little bit better. Not really. There are a few moves that I noticed, like the throw into the buckle. Ronda's going to be a little awkward at first because she just started out. Honestly, the crowd reactions. The whole entire night, you heard mixed reactions. You know, the Shinsuke Seth wasn't bad. The 10-man tag, of course people are going to get excited to see Rey Mysterio go one-on-one against Balor briefly. You're supposed to give teasers before Mania. When Mania season hits, that's like Royal Rumble. Some argue that it's Survivor Series, you know, tensions can be high, and match ideas can formulate from said event. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. believe Becky's instructions were, Becky Lynch, you know, the argument with her and Chris Jericho on Twitter, yeah, whatever. Okay. Becky Lynch was supposed to face Ronda. It was supposed to be a champion versus champions match. That didn't necessarily happen, although the fans would have loved to have seen it. Or would we? I believe when fans are faced with seeing two bowls of shit, that one bowl of shit turned into a nice bowl of cereal. And that nice bowl of cereal, you know, happened to be poured, the milk poured when Charlotte lost her shit. It was great. And if I can focus on one positive aspect, I think that's it. The fans actually cheered that. They cheered Charlotte beating the crap out of Ronda multiple times. And you know why? It's because Ronda Rousey, when she entered the scene, everyone's like, hey, cool, you're here. We thought it was just going to be one guest appearance and go. Well, no, they signed her to a contract because she's such a big deal. You know, she's a movie star, former UFC champion. But, dear, who am I to say when I watch your matches, I would rather flush my head in the toilet? Why? It was great. You know, Charlotte Flair, when she lost her shit, she grabbed a kendo stick. She grabbed a chair. She basically destroyed Ronda Rousey. She brutalized her. She demoralized her. How is that great? Well, when you come from lineage, when you come from wrestling royalty, as Ric Flair is referred to, it is high time that somebody put the clamps on Ronda Rousey. Why? Did you not hear the reaction of the crowd? The crowd was not for Ronda. A lot of crowds, ever since that 6-minute match against Alexa Bliss, she has not proven, like Becky Lynch said on one episode of SmackDown Live, you made fun of the road that I took to get me to where I needed to be. So no, I wasn't hand chosen, Becky said. I wasn't supposed to be the talk of the industry, yet here I am. This was before Becky got brutalized. And does this have a point? Yes. When somebody starts brutalizing somebody on a main show, it literally is saying, okay, this is the focal point of our show. We want to show Ronda that we mean business in wrestling, that we are for real. How many times does it, you know, have we seen Ronda struggle in a match? Nia's given her a fight, but Charlotte gave her an even bigger fight. So it was nice. It was relaxing to see Ronda Rousey, you know, get her comeuppance. But the other thing, though, some people will say, well, she didn't do this, she didn't do that. That'll come in time. She'll learn. She will learn that you cannot negate other people's ability. You can't not sell to the fact that she did. Ronda did not, you know, she got up on her own power. More power to you. You just had a chair crush your throat. She coughed. She was bloody. She was battered. She was bruised. She got up on her own power. I mean, most wrestlers, most females that would have undergone that beating from Charlotte. It boggles my mind because, dear God, if someone gave me that much of a beating, and I was, you know, if not me, but if anyone else, it would have been bad. If I got up and said, like, hey, I got my own power. She looked like, you know, she was jaw-jacking with a fan, whatever. Then the crowd, they drowned out the crowd noises as much as they could, but it just didn't work because the crowd was just like, oh, it's Ronda Rousey. Somebody that's being forced down our throats. And I'm like, okay. Like I said, I'm not trying to be all negative. I found a really good portion of the show. And, you know what? Charlotte versus Ronda when she lost her shit. I'm telling you guys. Survivor Series was a hot mess. Yeah, it was. It was a severe hot mess. And, the reason why? I don't know. Because there's probably 2 or 3 decent matches that actually could proceed to be known as Shinsuke versus Seth, Charlotte versus Ronda, and I don't know. There's 2. There's 2. So yeah, if I can find at least 2 good things out of Survivor Series, that's a rarity for me. I think that's a new record. I normally would go and say, well, thing is, or here's the deal. You guys want answers? Here's my answers. Ronda Rousey. Is she going to get better? The answer is yes. Is she going to be able to produce a show? That makes people go, oh yeah, I want to see her. I don't know. That's up to you guys. It's just watching Survivor Series, you know, it was hard. It was hard to get through a 3-hour show. 3 hours plus, man. 3 hours and 23 minutes. Or however long it was, but you know, it's ridiculous. In some instances, I know they're trying to produce a show with, say, you know, Raw is a superior brand, SmackDown Live needs to regroup, whatever. I mean, whatever the case may be, but it's just, I don't know, guys. It's losing its luster. But you know, we will watch. We will watch, we will criticize, we will serve the industry as best we know how to do as podcast hosts. And if not, you know, then we failed as podcast hosts on a national, uber national level.
on a national scale level. There's got to be a positive, right? There's got to be a silver lining in this whole schlemiel of an event. When you seriously put in the investments of what's going to please fans, that kind of just makes you wonder, what can we do to appease the fans? Well, I'll tell you what, three letters, NXT. NXT can be up and down too, but at least their ups and downs, their peaks and valleys are, they're going to differ from that to Maine. But you see guys like Matt Riddle, when you see guys like Cassius Ohno, all the way up to Otis Jojovic and Tucker Knight, Undisputed Era, Pete Dunne, Ricochet, there's just a whole lot of potential on NXT's roster, comparatively speaking, than to, not to take away from Monday Night Raw, but, my God, what is happening? I'm pretty sure that their ratings are still at least a 3-4, 3-5 since Ronda has been there, gracing them, gracing Raw with the presence. It's just when you try and force concepts on fans, like, okay, I'm not going to, John Cena, everyone used to say he was the reason. He didn't lie. I don't think so, because if he was the reason why WWE was a flop, no and no, because a lot of fans will say John Cena was the reason. No, somewhat, not really, the decisions that others made, or I'm going to leave that alone. How do you make Raw better? Watch and suggest. Keep it simple, stupid. Four words. Keep it simple, stupid. Just give the fans what we would like to see, even if, there's no rhyme or reason. And did it just fucking get colder? My roommate's flipping me off. Yeah. Anyways. So you get my drift, right? If you are to make someone better, they must be willing to be better themselves. And I'm sure that she trains every day. I'm talking about Ronda. And I'm sure that Charlotte Flair does as well. And, you really want my opinion, man? I don't think so. Ronda as the women's champion, it's interesting to a fault, but it's also boring as fuck because we don't get what we want in some way, shape, or form, because we wanted to see Becky versus Ronda. We didn't get that, so we got a perfect substitute. I didn't think she was perfect at first, but now I do. Because she lost her absolute shit. Kendo sticks, chair shots, natural selection on the chair. I mean, I believe it's Charlotte's birthright. I still don't think that it's a bad idea for Charlotte to get the push into the fray. See how I did that? Like I said, there's some positive behind Survivor Series, and that was the fans actually popped for Charlotte when she was beating the crap out of Ronda. So, there's that.
And, oh, yeah, the last few tidbits on my show. NXT TakeOver War Games, even though the attendance was a few, you know, few thousand short of filling out the arena, 13,326 people crammed that fucker. And the Staples Center, it's seldom that that place gets sold out for wrestling because... if you don't get a sellout, but you still put on a show, then that makes all the bit of difference. What kind of show is good to me is different from what Kurt will like or what anybody, Luke or anybody else will like. And so... it's just, I'm sorry, folks. I'm reading a lot of questions, and I'm trying to get to them as best I can. Well, all I gotta say... is that when you watch a wrestling show, you get what you get out of it, man. So keep it simple, stupid. Just, you know, keep watching. It'll get better. I believe that when you watch WWE, you're going to get a variety of either shit show or really good show or wasn't that entertaining, or you just watch from a worker's perspective, which ruins it. So... all in all, I think Survivor Series could have gotten worse. It could have been better. So, yeah. That's my assessment on the entire thing. If you watch a wrestling show trying to find the faults in every single thing, not going to be able to enjoy it. But if you find the optimism behind it, cool. And also, I'm just going to be honest with you. The reason why I'm so... not a Rousey fan, just like some people are so not a Flair fan. Well, let's see. If you're wrestling a match and you realize that you're running out of options, by instinct, your gut instinct, it'll tell you, start doing things you don't normally do. Charlotte took it upon herself, folks, to literally... showcase her crazy side. Her I can be a badder bitch than you side. If you think about it, folks, a lot of wrestling fans are not too fond of Ronda Rousey. And those who are may not necessarily have followed her in UFC, but they like her because she's what good stands for you'll never be the man, like, really. So she's interacting with the crowd, that's cool.
At one point, Michael Cole said a very unsympathetic crowd towards Rousey. She's getting nuclear heat, but in the wrong kind of way. If you're supposed to be the babyface on Raw, aren't you supposed to, well, I don't know. Because in that situation, how would anyone react? How do you react if you just got your ass whooped? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of factors into what made me so, not upset, but just kind of questioning, like, why didn't you fucking sell the fact that you got your throat, clamped by a chair? You just got up after the beating and said, don't touch me. You're supposed to be demoralized, brutalized, victimized. And that'd be like seeing someone in a movie get the crap beat out of them, and, they get up off their own power after the villains, just beat the ever-living shit out of them. And, like in one of the middle scenes, they're just like, wow, I just beat the ever-living crap out of you with a crowbar, and I'm surprised you're still standing. So, it's kind of like, what do you say? Like, how do you word Charlotte Flair's beating, how are you supposed to react to Charlotte Flair's beating of Ronda Rousey? As a fan, I was happy. Because, for starters, if I'm not making the company money, I can just throw my 2 cents in. Not really. I guess. I don't know. I'm going to throw my 2 cents in about wrestling. And you know what? I'm enjoying myself because I've got 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes to explain to you exactly how I fucking feel about pro wrestling. Not as a whole, because if I do that, then I've got to include Ring of Honor, CZW, Wrestling Revolver, all those wonderful dudes and gals, man. And I gotta say, it really does perplex me how people can just sit there and be like, oh, well, it's wrestling. WWE's going to have a great WrestleMania. It's up to you guys. To you guys, what you perceive as good as a good pay-per-view. And this one, it just made you wonder, it made you scratch your head in some ways, Seth and Nakamura was decent. The tag team match, not sure what to make of it. The women's match was not fond of. Show wasn't, all a total loss. So that's why I'm surprised that I didn't completely fall asleep. Anyways, so I gotta give Granny Hulkster some grief tomorrow. She's probably gonna say, I'm proud of my team. By the way, folks, I watched that no defensive game, which is pretty holy. Like, should we start the holy shit chants now or later between the Rams and the Chiefs? 54 points, 51 points on the other end. Jesus Christ. Is there any team that can stop
Patrick Mahomes. 6 touchdown passes, this kid. 6 touchdown passes. I'm sorry, I have to transition out of the boringness that was Survivor Series. Some of it, not all of it. I just, you know, overall, like I said, my favorite moment was Charlotte Flair. And the fact that she lost her shit. Seth Rollins, Nakamura, not bad. It actually was decent. Seth ended up getting the victory. Now he's going to defend his Intercontinental Championship against Dean Ambrose later on, right? TLC. So there you go. There's so many pay-per-views to keep up with. Not enough NXT takeovers, that's all I'm saying. What was my favorite match out of there? Oh, dude. Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa versus Velveteen. The War Games, of course, so those three. Baszler versus Sane wasn't bad either. It actually had a good ebb and flow to it. NXT, for the umpteenth time, has really set the bar, pun intended, for anybody. Because, look, it is always going to be the show that makes it above all else. Why, in my opinion? Why? Because it gave the fans something to be like, whoa, that was cool, or man, this was badass. You don't really get that with Survivor Series. You go, oh, okay, this match was cool, Seth and Nakamura. Oh, okay, Charlotte lost her shit. The crowd actually cheered for that. They tried to drown out the booing, but they couldn't quite get the job. Over 17,000 packed the house at Staples Center for Survivor Series. When I get to my point, it sounds something like this. Why is it a good idea to suggest versus me telling the audience what could be better? Because I'm not the booker, I'm not the promoter, and I'm not going to sit here and say if I was one, because that would cause me immense amount of stress having to deal with people all the time saying, your show sucked, your show was horrible. I'm pretty sure that's what Vince, Hunter, and all of them put up with, and Stephanie and Shane and all the producers, Noble, Hayes. The point is, there's always, and I mean always, going to be somebody that sits in the audience and will pinpoint things and write it down on their phone as to what they're going to critique or how they're going to critique it. I'm just here to, you know, tell you the real about what I saw. As a fan, I saw a shit show that maybe had 2 or 3 highlights worth on the show. One, who's training Ronda? What the fuck? When you take a beating like that, you're not supposed to on your own power. You are not supposed to do certain things. Like, my God, dear, who taught you how to fucking bump? Like, for real, you should have been put in NXT. Although I realize you're a big name, my God, dude. In 2 months' time, you became a champion. That's unreal. And, the, you know, every other female that came up from NXT had ample enough time, you know, to learn how to acclimate themselves on the main. Granted, you are a big name, you work hard, and you make money. The 6-minute match versus Alexa Bliss. I was there, folks. I was there at SummerSlam. It wasn't that good of a match. It's just like, okay, no. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to have a person who's already established, such as Alexa Bliss,
you know, go in there, and Rousey, I know she didn't intentionally injure Bliss, but you did kind of fuck up the main event at Evolution, or not main event, but one of the main events. And I'm thinking, gee, you know, you want us as fans to get behind that shit. You want us as fans to get behind the fact that she didn't sell a beating at all. At all. So it's more of a pride thing. And you just, you know, you just get up on your own power. It's just, I'm not understanding. Like, if it were anybody else that wasn't such the money draw that Rousey is, which is answering my own question, they would be either reprimanded in the back, or they, you know, they'd be pulled aside and told to do a better job. It's like you giving special treatment to her. Oh yeah, I'll get, you know, Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. It's just, you know, one thing after the other with certain people who get called up, brought in, whatever. So all I'm going to say is, folks, it takes a special kind of patience to be a wrestling fan, not just WWE, Ring of Honor, blah, blah, blah. If you don't like something, you can always suggest, like, I would have liked to have seen this instead of this. Couldn't hurt, right? They are listening. Ten seconds. What a bossy bitch. All right, folks, if you didn't like what I told you, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, and join me tomorrow with Granny Hulkster as I give her healthy grief about the chefs losing, more like choking as they normally do. Oh, and by the way, I can actually say this week, even though my Raiders are down in the shitter, guess what, fuckers? We won. Go Raiders! Dig it. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of personality. Like Mussolini and Kennedy. The cult of personality, the cult of personality, the cult of personality.